right, let's get into the word of God here on today. Father, we honor you. We're so grateful always for your presence. We are so grateful for your word. We trust forever and always that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So give us further clarity. Give us direction, Father. Enlarge us. Help us to grow more and more in you on this day. We love you with all of our heart, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. All right, here we go. So finishing off here with the greatest comeback in all of human history. Our key text was Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon turned against you will succeed, or no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. Weapons may be formed against you, but they will not prosper. When you look at the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, weapons were formed against him. And some people thought that they prospered, but they didn't. Because at the end of the day, watch this, God got the last laugh. And I got news for you. Whatever you could ever be dealing with, as long as you and I can learn how, watch this, to follow the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will continue to have the last laugh and we'll be laughing right along with him. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Absolutely, praise God. So we covered the fact that you and I were designed by God to be too powerful to be defeated or overcome. Then we looked at the whole, you know, fact of the matter is that sometimes, yes, bad things come, but that doesn't mean they're coming, you know, from God. And that doesn't mean now that somehow, you know, the presence of bad things mean that there's no presence of a good God. Oh, no, on the contrary. Matter of fact, in those bad moments, it's that good God who shows up to lift you out. Praise God. That's what he does. And then last week, come on, if you weren't here last week, Minister Lone, she was ministering to you, reminding us all, don't you ever quit. Come on. Don't you ever start whining. Don't you ever hang your head. Praise God. Don't you ever. Come on. This is the attitude of those who are positioned to experience a comeback. See, when we talk about the greatest comeback, the angle that we've been looking at on this is, how do we come back? Come on, we understand Jesus came back, so we can celebrate that. But how do you come back? Anyone ever had a setback before? I won't even ask for a show of hands if you're dealing with a setback right now. You could be dealing with a setback right now. How do you get back from that? Well, the same way Jesus did. That's what we've been looking at. So now, let's kind of finish here on this area. If you and I, if we're going to experience a great comeback just like Jesus did, you're going to have to get out of your mind. At some point, you have to make a decision. You've got to come out of your mind. If I can put it this way, almost, you got to go crazy. You have to expand your believer. You need to challenge your thinker, and you need to elevate your mind. Say that with me. Expand my believer. Challenge your thinker and elevate your mind. I'm not sure if the person next to you heard you, so turn to them and say, neighbor, expand your believer, challenge your thinker, and elevate your mind. So today I want to deal with the subject matter of, are you out of your mind? Come on, now, anyone ever said that to you? You were doing something and they looked at you like, are you out of your mind? Or we might say it like this, are you crazy? I get a kick out of this one Geico commercial. They're doing kind of a spoof on a horror movie. And now there's four, you know, I don't know, kind of young adults, and they're running. And I guess the character they're running from is like Jason, and they're running, and there's a cemetery over there, and they're running towards this house and this barn. And, you know, one girl falls and trips. They're like, oh, you know, get up, get up, get up. And then so the one girl is like, come on, let's run into the attic. The other girl says, no, let's go down into the basement. And then the one girl turns and looks and says, why don't we just get into the running car? And then the guy turns her and says, are you crazy? Let's go hide behind the chainsaws. And of course, they go hide behind the chainsaws. And, you know, the character Jason is back there. And then they take off like, let's head for the cemetery. It's just like, okay, what are y'all thinking? But there's one person in the group, watch this, that thought differently than everyone else. And here's where I want to challenge you. Group thinking can get you killed. See, just because everybody else think that's the best thing to do. Wait a minute, what does God say on this matter? And now they looked at her and they were asking her, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? And really, she should have been like, absolutely. And y'all need to get with me. Let's get into this running car and get out of here. Rather than go hiding behind some chainsaws. God says it this way to us in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. Paul, Selah, I want everybody to think about that. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Listen, when God begins to speak to you, whether that's, you know, kind of by an inward witness on the inside, whether that's through teaching and preaching like what's going on right now, whether that's through your you know, daily Bible reading, meditation, however it is the Spirit of God begins to speak to you, it's designed to challenge your mind. It's not necessarily going to coincide with what you already think. Why? Because his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As a matter of fact, once your thoughts elevate to a certain level, God is trying to take it higher. So the things and ideas and concepts that God starts to bring to us is designed to challenge our thinking. And that's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Now, let me help you here. God transforms us into a new person by changing the way we think, not necessarily by, watch this, by doing religious things. It's good for us to serve. We do those things. But all those things should be coming out of our transformed thinking. Allowing God to change our mind. What areas right now do you need to allow God to change your mind? And I want to challenge you. That area where you think you're good, I challenge you to let God get more involved there. You and I don't know as much as we think we do. So catch this right in the beginning. To get what you've never gotten, you must do what you've never done. Most people understand that. But let me amplify that a little further. To see what you've never seen, you must think like you never have. And then you will do what you've never done and receive what you've never had. I'm going to say that again. To see what you've never seen, you must think like you never have. And then you will do what you've never done and receive what you've never had. You got to start thinking differently. You and I, we got to start thinking bigger. Come on, I know I got some big thinkers in here. I already know that. I know we got some big thinkers in here already, but I want to challenge you too. Come on. Let's think even bigger. Let's think even bigger than we ever have been before. Because as we always like to talk about in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, says our God, he does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever imagine or think. So however big we start to think, God says, I'm already beyond that. But the question we got to ask, do we have God kind of limited? I was looking at something the other day, and you know, you go to different properties and so forth, and you know, you have different ceiling heights, you know. So, you know, I remember this one property had like 7.5 foot ceiling height. Come on now. I mean, that's like this, you know. And then you go to some other properties and they may have 12 foot ceilings, 20 foot, 40 feet, you know, ceiling. What's the ceiling you have on God right now? Huh? Come on. Does God have to watch this bend down in your house, in your mental house, because the ceiling is just so low? All right. Praise the Lord. So here we go. First item we need to make sure we focus in on is beware of mental fences. Beware of mental fences. Mental fences are barriers constructed in your mind that restrict you and keep you bound in a specific mental state. Mental fences, they're barriers. That's what they are. These mental fences restrict our freedom in Christ and they restrict our liberty in this life. And it's just really depending upon how much you allow God to stretch you that determines where your fence is. Because to some degree, depending upon where you are, you'll feel like, hey, spending X amount of money for, you know, something is, well, that's just too much. I remember some years ago, I was talking to a friend. They were just like, yeah, I went out to Morton's Steakhouse. I had never been before. And, you know, at the time, my budget was really tight. Anyone ever had a tight budget before? You don't have to raise your hand. And so the person was like, yeah, you know, it's good, you know, meal, so on and so forth. You know, spent about $250. And immediately my mental fence was like, whoa. It's like, man, that's too much. It was just two people? I was just two of y'all? I'm just telling you just right where I was. I was like, it was just two of y'all? I was like, what? I was like, nah, I'm gonna try the Ponderosa or something. I'm just telling you, that's where I was. I'm gonna go to Bonanza. Anybody remember Bonanza and so forth? And so I couldn't do it. But then I obviously some time went by, and then, yeah, I, you know, went to Morton's and I'm going to all kind of, you know, different, you know, places. But at the time I realized, now looking back, I had a mental fence that restricted me from going certain places because I was afraid of how much it costs. These mental fences are constructed over the years from ideas and thoughts that are developed from our background. And specifically when I say background, again, I'm talking about our environment, our culture, our education, our experiences, our gender, our peer groups, and just our overall upbringing. These barriers determine what is acceptable, believable, and doable in our lives. In other words, let's put it this way. These barriers control your life. That's what actually is controlling you. So we can talk all day long about, you know, okay, God, have your way. God says, I can't go beyond what your mind is letting me do. Now, here's the real intriguing part about this. Is that anytime an idea that comes from God, specifically here, is introduced that challenges us to go beyond our fence, an annoying alarm goes off within that creates an uncomfortable disturbance. It'll sound something like this. It's almost there. It's coming. Trust me. We got it cued. It's ready. Y'all know what an annoying alarm sounds like, though. Just imagine it in your mind right then. But an annoying alarm will go off, watch this, that starts to disturb you. Come on, anybody knows when that alarm goes off in the morning, you know, to wake you up? For those of you that like me that may use an alarm clock, come on, that thing, you know, on my phone, I want to grab the phone and throw it across the room. Because the sound is annoying. And it's designed to be annoying. Now, I can't now, you know, you got all kind of alarm tones today. So you can put on, you know, one that's real nice and sweet. I'm telling you, that thing don't wake me up. that thing helps me go back to sleep even greater. So I have to have an annoying sound that throws everything off. This is what happens, though, when God starts speaking to us and is challenging our thinking. Listen, here's the issue. Here's the issue. We don't need the alarm now. We passed that point now. Praise the Lord. Here's the situation, though, that when the ideas, you know, from God, you know, show up, we have to understand that God is not obligated to speak to us in ways that we understand and agree with. God doesn't have to just talk to you based upon what you agree with and what you understand. God's trying to elevate your thinking. And I got news for you. Our challenge more than anything else and anyone else is how we think. That's our challenge in life. And God is saying, I'm endeavoring to elevate your thinking. I'm endeavoring to transform your life by transforming the way you think. Think like me. Come on, someone say it. Think like God. Now, when the alarm goes off, this alarm will prompt you to do one of two things. It's what we call, you know, it kind of in psychology, fight or flight. You know, it's going to cause you to either start fighting or you're going to take flight. Watch this. The flight element is you will retreat back to mental safety away from your fence, with thoughts and ideas you've always embraced. Because so now God says something to you that, watch this, that you don't agree with. I don't know if it takes all that. So we start to back up, you know, from that uncomfortableness. We retreat into the thoughts that we are more comfortable with. Well, God understands my situation. And well, you know, I'm just dealing with this and I'm dealing with that. We just kind of settle back in. It's that flight. Or we can take that fight, you know, confrontation with God's word, which many times we can do, where we resist it. We resist it. We start to attack it. You know, we start to criticize it. You know, you have individuals today now that want to now label portions of God's word like it's hate speech. And the sad part about it is many Christians agree with it. Can I just say this? I know we on the internet and everything, but that's dumb. All right. I just wanted to say that. Both of these responses we can take, fight or flight, and it will silence the alarm because you will back up, you know, from the fence. It's kind of like, you know, the invisible fence that they use with animals, you know, dogs and so forth. You know, the dog gets too close to an area and then a little shock wave goes off and the dog understands I need to retreat from that if I want that uncomfortableness to stop. So you can fight or flight and you can get everything to stop. The problem is you haven't changed. You haven't grown. You haven't developed. You haven't matured. You have no movement with God. You're still in the same place. Now, you got to be honest with yourself. I got to be honest with myself. And I got to take a pretty much like a territorial analysis. Am I in the same place with God that I was 3 years ago? Am I further back? Am I moving with God? Because, see, God's not stagnant. He's moving. So now we are with God and on mission with God. We're moving with them. So now when I take my analysis and evaluation, I ought to be able to look up in my life and see some movement further with God. Jesus experienced the greatest comeback in history because he refused to be confined to small, self-centered, common religious thinking. He refused it. And I want to challenge you, and I'm challenging myself. Let's follow his example. Let's follow his example. That's how we get over into the great comeback. You know, scripture talks about, you know, something, and I just like to say it this way. The unrenewed mind imprisons the born-again spirit. So you and I, you know, those that have a relationship with God, born again. Come on now. Whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Born again. But your unrenewed mind will imprison your born-again spirit. Let's put that in plainer, you know, terms. It'll keep you in a place living like you have no relationship with God. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says this. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. See, the carnal mind or the sinful nature, it automatically resists or rejects any instruction from God. See, it's leaving you fenced in by traditional thinking and destructive emotions. So when you start finding yourself resisting what God says, you need to pause. You need to pause and recognize what's going on here. You're fighting now. You're fighting against God because the alarm is going off. God has said something to you to watch this. Come on, let's go there. You don't agree with. So you start fighting against it. And it's this scenario that Paul paints for us here. This sinful nature is always hostile towards God. And the thing that you got to understand, let me put this kind of in our cultural context today. This is that sense again of morality without God. You'll see it happening huge now where people will be, you know, pushing a sense of morality and how we need to do this to protect children, so on and so forth. But then you interject God into it and they get hostile. Hostile. I remember, you know, one particular congressperson, they're just like blankety blank, drop the F-bomb about prayer. Like, care about praying for this? We need to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, okay. That's all well and cute. You'd want to, you know, kind of feign that sense of outrage. But morality without God is empty. The whole sense of morality and ethics comes from God. And listen, church, don't fall for that. Don't eat that. Like somehow that's great. And I know businesses and everyone is like pushing it. Like, yes, that's being considerate. That's being, you know, conscientious. That's being concerned about our planet. That's being so moral. But you got to look at it and be like, but where's God in this? If we're trying to do morality on our own, listen, we are on a very slippery slope. Unrenewed mind imprisons this born again spirit. You know, but Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the verse just before verse 7 says this, gives us the actual answer to things. It says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. That's plain and simple. But letting the spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. See, if you let your sinful nature control your mind, meaning if you're going to let, you know, this nature that's going to always fight or flight from God's, you know, thoughts, it's going to lead to death. Now, when we talk about death, we're not just simply talking about someone physically dying. See, it leads to death in relationships. Now divorce shows up. Come on now. Now sickness and disease is running rampant. Now there's all types of dysfunction, you know, throughout the family line. That's death. Where did it come from? Individuals now fighting and flighting from God's thoughts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Someone say, just do it. Now, that's Nike's slogan and has been their slogan for years. Just do it. They made, you know, billions, if not trillions of dollars, you know, just off of that whole slogan and everything they've been doing now for the last several decades. Just do it. And a lot of times we can look at that, you know, in a biblical sense. Hey, just do it. Just do what God says. And that's good. It's not inaccurate. It's just not complete. Just do it. Listen, quickly acting on those thoughts from God and his ideas that set off your alarm, that's a good thing. However, to act on an idea or thought without shattering your fence first will only produce a temporary new experience. See, this is why, and probably all of us, I know I can attest to this, that you can act on God's word in the area for a season, but eventually revert right back to doing the old thing. Come on now. You can begin to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm tithing. Come on, Impact Church. We are 100% tithing church that tithes 100% of the time. I'm tithing. But see, if you never break the fence, the whole time while you're tithing, that alarm is going off. And that thing is annoying. And at some point in time, you're going to do something to turn that thing off. You're either going to fight or you're going to flight. Or you'll do the third thing that we'll get to in a minute. You'll go God's way on it. So just doing it by itself is not enough. That's good, but you got to break the fence. You got to allow God to expand. Allow God to expand that fence. To some degree, I believe, because we live in this soulless realm, there's always going to be fences. The issue is, how large can we allow our yard to grow? You know, I was watching the show Yellowstone. So they were just talking about the fact that, I think they were talking about they had like 50,000 acres of land or something like that. And then one person was like, no one family should own that much land. And their things like, this is it. This is ours. 50 plus thousand, you know, acres of stuff. How large is your yard? Come on, you can put a whole lot in 50,000 acres. A whole lot. And what God wants to do with you and me, he wants to progressively grow our mind. Come on. Grow the yard of your mind. Come on now, where now you can't just simply walk through it. You know how it is. You can have that little yard you just walk through in 10 seconds. Come on. God said, I want you to have a yard now that's so huge. Come on now, you need an ATV so you can ride through some things. Come on, where you need to pack a lunch when you're going out to look at your property for the day. Come on, God's trying to expand us. This is how we come back, and this is how Jesus came back. So just doing it by itself is good, but that's not enough. You and I must create a new yard constructed out of God's new thoughts and ideas, which you commit to expand for the rest of your life. Create a new yard. Create a new yard. See, I'm telling you, and then once that new yard gets you know, kind of built, then God starts working on you to take you even further. That's the thing that really can be a little challenging, because you go through this phase one time, you're like, okay, yeah, I got it. And then God like, all right, now let me take you further. And you start thinking, man, can I just breathe here for a minute? No. Why? Because we're on mission. We're on mission. Everything God does is about mission. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 says this, talking about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Listen, you and I, we want to grow to a place where we're living life where we're not wavering at the promises of God. Wavering. Let's put it in the context we're talking about, where we're not fighting or flighting against what God says. That's what Paul is talking about here. That Abraham stopped wavering. He stopped doing the fighting and he stopped doing the flighting. He stopped running and he stopped resisting. He says, I'm coming to a place where I'm embracing what God says. Watch this. I'm not allowing unbelief to set in on here. I'm being strengthened in faith. And then I love, he says, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Being fully convinced. See, because there's some things, you know, people will say, you know how it is. Some people be like, yo, let me borrow $100 and I'll get it back to you. There's some people I'm not fully convinced I'm going to get it back. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Can we just be honest? I'm just not fully convinced. Now, there's other people be like, hey, you got $100 on you I can hold. I'll get it back to you next week. I'm fully convinced. Okay, I know I'm going to get that back. But there's some I ain't got that kind of confidence in. God is saying, listen, when it comes to me and my word, I need for you to be fully convinced that what I said, I've already done it. Oh, my goodness. I done already done it. Come on, get your mind in line with what I've already done. That's where God is carrying us to. So we don't want to fight and we don't want to flight against what God says, because we're coming out of our mind. So we want to respond God's way. What's God's solution? The God way to silence the alarm is to respond to the challenging thoughts and ideas from God in faith. Not fight, not flight, but respond in faith. Now, what does that mean? You know, I'm a teacher, so I'd like to be practical. How do you apply that? What do you mean? What do you mean respond in faith? Real simple. You embrace the new thoughts and ideas, and you silence your alarm by doing what alarms you. You do what alarms you, but watch this. You do it with joy. You do it with conviction that God is good. And you do it with peace, that his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Come on, do it with joy. I got to do this. I got to do this. This is what I got to do. This is what I got to do. I remember someone, you know, telling me something, you know, sometime. I guess they thought they were, I don't know, correcting me. I don't know what it was. But they were just, we were talking about something. And it was like, I don't have to serve. I was like, hey, I'm not trying to force anything here. He says, but you do need to understand what the Bible says. You need to understand God's thoughts. Boy, it got quiet. Got quiet in that element. So you do need to understand God's thoughts. God's thoughts challenge us to that area. To serve one another. That's God. That ain't me. That ain't Anthony Crawford. Don't come at me. My role, and we're talking about this a little bit in our Dream Team Huddle. My role is to equip you. That's my role. But I can't force equipping. I can just provide the equipment. All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do it with joy. Do it with conviction that God is good. Do it with peace that his thoughts are higher than yours. You may not understand, and your mind may not agree. And my response to all of us into that is, so what? God says, your agreement is not a prerequisite for obedience. Understand that faith eradicates your mental fence and expands your thinking into a new realm of God's thoughts and ways. That's what faith does. It eradicates the fence and expands your thinking into a new realm of God's thoughts and ways. And really, it winds up creating a new fence where that faith is. So now, faith in God's new ideas will destroy this fence. But now it's brought you to this place, and now you got a whole new fence. Watch this. The yard has expanded. And now you want to allow God to keep working that process. Get it bigger and bigger and bigger. We see the perfect example of this in the life of Abraham. That's why I looked at Romans chapter 4. Because you see Abraham doing these three things. Talking about responding to God's challenging thoughts in faith. That he did it with joy. He did it with conviction that God was good. And he did it with peace that God's thoughts were higher than his thoughts. So just because he didn't understand it didn't mean he shouldn't go through with it. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. Ladies and gentlemen, God tells Abraham here, hey, I want you to sacrifice your son, the son of promise. He didn't say Ishmael. Abraham may have been like, Ishmael, all right, there you go. Hey, where Hagar at? No. God says, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. And it says here, this always blows my mind. It says here, the next morning, Abraham got up early. Why? He's responding to this challenging thought by faith. Now, let's be clear. Let's not, you know, over-spiritualize this thing like, oh, yes, God said that to Abraham, and it was just no issue. Come on, that had to challenge his thinking. Like, for the last 25 years, I had been, you know, trying to stand in the faith to receive the promise that you said. Now I have him. He's like 13 years old, and you want me to kill him? It's like 40 years I've been going through this experience, and now you want me to put him to death? He says, but I'm going to do this with joy because I have a conviction that you are good. Because you are good, you're never telling me to do something that's going to harm me, even if it may look funny. Because God doesn't have to speak to us based upon what we think and how we agree. He gets up early. I'm telling you, I'll just be candid with you. I don't know if I'd have got up that early the next morning. Come on, I got four kids. Come on, our newest member, Kinsley Cross. She in the house. You know, their parents wouldn't be, you know, excited about, let's go ahead and get rid of her. Am I right now? Am I right now? That's a challenging thought. Abraham doesn't fight it, though. And Abraham doesn't run from it. He responds in faith, so he does it with joy. He does it with conviction that God is good. And he does it, watch this, with peace, that God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I don't see everything God sees. I don't. Yes, I'm in union with God. I got the Spirit of God living on the inside of me, but I don't see it all like he sees it all in one shot. So I just trust that his thinking is above my thinking. And if he's asking me to do something, my role is just to get in line. I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to do it with this conviction that he's good. And I'm going to do it with a peace that, you know what, his thoughts are bigger than mine. So whether I see it or not doesn't even matter. That's That's what Abraham does here. And then Hebrews lays it out for us and explains that a little bit to us in detail in chapter 11, verse 17. It says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac. Again, what is the solution to those thoughts that are challenging you? Faith. Respond by faith. Don't run from it. Don't fight against it. Respond by faith. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. Come on now, this is a conviction that God is good. See, this is a piece that God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So even if I go through this, God's got to, you know, fulfill his word that he already said that's supposed to happen through my son Isaac. So if I got to do this, you got to bring him back. But my role is not to fight against you. My role is not to run from you. My role is to embrace what you say by faith. And how do you do that? That means now when the alarm is going off, you do it with joy. You do it with the conviction that my God is good. And you do it with a peace because your mind is talking to you. You tell your mind, shut up. My God's thoughts are higher than mine. So I may not see it right now, but God will show it to me clearly sometime in the future. I'm with you. This is what Abraham did. And the last part of that verse says, and in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Isn't that interesting? We got to get what God is saying. We got to get it. I want to challenge you to allow God to expand your yard. Expand your mental yard. Come on, let them take you to maybe where you've never been before, or maybe take you back to where you were. Because one of the things that can happen with us, our yards can contract. They can get smaller. Because we do so much fighting, we do so much running from God that it contracts. And then, watch this, the yard is contracted to hear, and God is bringing you thoughts and ideas that are taking you out here, that's hard on your mind. It's hard on your mind. It's just like, man, that's we've never been there before. God said, that's all right, trust me. Do it with joy. Do it with a conviction that I'm good. Do it with a peace that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Final point that I'll leave you with is this. You want to get these things from God. You got to get it from God. That is absolutely critical. And when you understand that, then you'll understand these 3 points here. If you can't find it in God's word, then you shouldn't have it. Let me speak plainly. If we're going to be too lazy to find it in God's word, then you shouldn't have it. If you haven't found it in the word, you haven't earned it. Stop trying to grab hold of something that you haven't even found yet. I'm talking about God speaking to you. Or if you have found it in the word, but you are still uncertain in your present dilemma, then you just haven't learned it yet. If you have found it, but it's challenging your thinking, you're fighting with it, you're running from it, that means you just haven't learned it yet. You haven't surrendered to it yet. So my question to you, are you out of your mind yet? Are you out of your mind yet? Or are you going to try to continue to control God with your head? Father, my prayer is that you help us today. Help us, Daddy, all to expand in our thinking. There's no way we experience the great comeback like we see with the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't follow the example that he set for us. And that's to learn how to think out of the box. That's to learn how to respond to your word, Father, things that, may strike us odd, may make us, want to, run or resist. Respond to those things, Father, with a sense of faith. Father, that we can do it with joy. We can do it with a conviction that you're good. We can do it with a peace that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Help us, Daddy, in this season as we are approaching now the most significant time in all of human history. Help us, Daddy, to have a larger yard for you to work through, for you to work in, for you to work through us in touching others' lives. We surrender all unto you now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. If you agree, would you say amen? Amen. Yeah, amen.